You are listening to the New Vision Church podcast, a community to belong, be loved, and believe.
Well, good morning and happy new year. Who else is excited about the new year, right? 2023, can I get like some, you know, hand motions, emotions, whatever they're called, emojis up in the chat, right? So this is what I want you to think about, right? 2022 was a great year. But you know what? I believe 2023 is going to be even better. You know, I love a new year. I love newness. In fact, sometimes I don't even want to unwrap things because I don't want the newness to wear off, right? Have you ever been like that? You ever gotten something new and you just like, you know, you're trying to protect the newness, right? When it comes to your car, but then after the first spill, you know what? It's like, oh, who cares anymore, right? But there are things about the new year that that we celebrate every year, right? Like resolutions or commitments, promises that we make to ourselves or to others. We say, yeah, you know, we're going to work on this year. We're going to try to do better, etc. But with this new year, I want to ask you to consider maybe doing something a little different. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be spending some time talking about the new year and what I've titled this message as is a new vision for new vision. You know, what would it be like for you to have a new vision for your life? You know, what would it be like for us to go into this new year with truly a new paradigm, a new set of eyes, a new passion, a new desire, right? What would that be like? And I think that it's very exciting when you think about the opportunity of doing something new and different. But this is the reality, is that a lot of times we get excited about something new, but then we realize, okay, it's going to take some work, it's going to take some effort, it's going to take some discipline. We get discouraged. This is why most resolutions don't make it past, you know, 8 or 10 days. It's because the newness or the excitement or the motivation wears off, and we end up just, you know, canning everything and saying, forget it, it's too hard. But what would it be like for us to actually have a dream or have a vision for the future that was so exciting, that was so adventurous, that was so daring that it required not just more effort, but it required all of us. Like it required 100% of me, 100% of you. You know, what would it be like for us to have that kind of passion, that kind of desire to see something, to see God do something in and through us that was so much bigger than us that it really is a new vision for new vision. So I want to wrap up kind of where we left off last week with Christmas. You know, Jesus was being born in the last sermon I shared, and we talked about that a little bit, about how he was born in this manger, and he came to redeem us from the mess that we're in. And let's be honest, we're all kind of messy. Our lives are dysfunctional. Some people say they put the fun in dysfunctional, and I can believe that. But you know, what would it be like really for us to say, I want to be someone new this year. I want to do something new. I want to be about something that's bigger than myself. So we're going to turn our attention to the wise men. You know, not to completely obliterate anyone's perspective of the nativity scenes, but Jesus was born and the wise men were not there at that time. They actually showed up maybe as much as a year or two later. But what's interesting is that they did show up, and how they showed up and what they did when they showed up, I think is a great picture for us moving into the new year with a new vision for new vision. So as we unpack this a little bit, I'm going to read to you from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 15. Make a few comments, pray, and then share some other thoughts, and we'll be done. So here we go. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews?" Now, this is important. You want to note this, that Jesus is king at his birth. We know he was king before his birth, but he has entered into this world, and people are already recognizing him as the king of the Jews. Then it says, "For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." So they recognize that he is king, but they also recognize that he's worthy of worship. And these men, wise men, have come a long distance to give him worship. It says, when Herod the king heard about this, now again, you can see there's two kings going on here, two different economies, two different kingdoms, two different, value systems. Everything's being opposed here. And so when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them to where the Christ was to be born. So it's not just the wise men who have an idea of Christ, the Messiah. There are other people who are aware of this, and they're able to ascertain what happened and where this is happening because they know the prophecies. They've heard about this. So they said to him, "Well, it's supposed to happen in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also.'" Now, I want to stop here for a second, too, and say this, that Herod, obviously, not a trustworthy character here. And he says to the wise men, "I want you to go and find out where he is, then come back, tell me, so that I can come and worship him." First of all, no one can find Jesus for you. You have to seek him out yourself. We are not saved because of our relationship with our parents. It's not a hand-me-down faith. We all have to have faith of our own in Jesus Christ. And so these wise men who have been seeking, studying the skies and the stars, they have sought Jesus out themselves, and they have come to worship him. And the same thing is true for you and I. We have to seek him out ourselves. In fact, the Bible says this, that if we seek, we will find. When we seek after him, after God with all of our hearts, then he's going to reveal himself. A lot of people think that, you know, God is somehow trying to just withhold himself from us, and that's not the truth. In fact, you could probably, if you're honest, you could even look back on your life this last week, and you might even be able to see several ways that God has been trying to get your attention, or ways that God is trying to point you to him. So it goes on and says, when they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring word to you. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Let's pray together. So God, we pray that as we look at your word today, that you open our hearts and our minds. Lord God, we pray that you would peel back any scales that are over our eyes that would prevent us from seeing you. God, I pray that you would help us to truly have a new vision in this new year for our church, New Vision Church, but God, also for ourselves, for our lives, and what you desire to do in and through us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you've probably heard this phrase before. It's been around for a while. And it goes like this. Wise men still seek him. All right. Wise people still seek God. They still seek Jesus. And in this new year, I want to challenge you to do that, to actually be someone who is in a passionate pursuit of Jesus Christ, that you would be willing to give yourself to this pursuit, that you would actually engage seeking after Jesus. Now, these wise men were possibly some kings themselves. They obviously were well versed in prophecy. They would have known the study of the skies, because it says they saw his star. So they were well educated, possibly royalty themselves, and now they realize that there's another king who is worthy of worship. And so they are willing to travel a long distance to come and see this king, the king of the Jews. And they saw his star appear, and you know what? They were willing to do something kind of extraordinary. They were willing to leave their family and their friends. They were willing to leave even maybe their own kingdoms if they were kings. They were willing to leave all that to come and worship this newborn king. Let me ask you this question. What would make you search high and low? What drives you to go on a hunt until you find it? Let me give you a few examples. I'm sure this has probably not ever happened to you, where you would lose your phone. You wouldn't go crazy over that, would you? You wouldn't turn the house upside down looking for your phone, would you? And what about your car keys? Would you go crazy over your car keys? Or how about the remote control? This has probably happened in the last week where some of you may have lost the remote control. And what are you doing? You are turning the couch, the love seat, inside out, upside down. You're looking, you know, everywhere for this remote control. You know, whatever it is that's important to us, we go on a search for. And you know what? We will turn the world upside down until we find it. But on a whole other level, what would you be willing to leave your family and your friends for? That's a much harder question, isn't it? I mean, you know, we place great value on certain items, obviously our family and our friends, but also on phones, car keys, remote controls. We have value on these things, and they mean something to us. And so, you know, in certain things we can't seem to live without. So what are we going to do? We're going to search high and low. We're going to make every effort. When you think about these wise men, look at what they're willing to do. They're leaving their home. They're leaving their family. What would you be willing to leave everything for? Some people would be willing to leave for love or romance, right? We've all done some crazy and stupid things in the name of love. And when it comes down to it, love is a huge motivating factor. A lot of times people are. They're willing to drive even across the state to see someone. You're willing to drive across the United States to see someone. You might even be willing to fly across, you know, to another country to see someone, because love, right, will compel you to do that. People are willing to leave places of comfort, places where they have great relationships in order to pursue a greater relationship. How about this? What about wealth or lost treasure, right? There are people who've dedicated their lives to trying to find some kind of hidden treasure, you know, some lost treasure that's been buried in the ocean for, you know, hundreds of years. And this is where we get movies like, you know, National Treasure and some things like that, you know, Uncharted, where, you know, there's these gold lost in all these places, whatever. And so you hear about these stories, right? And of people who are willing to leave everything in search of that one thing. How about your faith? Would your faith ever compel you to leave your family, to leave friends? There are people who are missionaries who've left their home, who've left family and friends to serve God's purposes. They've given themselves to his call in their life. And I don't know if God's going to do that for you, but I will say this, that I do think that God is calling each of us to be willing to give him our utmost, to give him our best, to give him our greatest attention, to give our complete selves to his purpose and his cause. In fact, Hebrews 11, aka the Hall of Faith, is replete with stories of men and women who were willing to give their lives, to alter their lives completely because of the faith they had in God, and specifically the calling that God had on their lives. And this wasn't easy. Like even Abraham, right? He's leaving his country. He's walking away, not even knowing where he's going. So let me ask you this question. Is your faith in God or Jesus so strong that you would alter your life for him? What kind of faith do you have? Is your love for him so true that whatever he wants for you, you're willing to step out and pursue in faith? That if God, and I know that we would have to say, well, yeah, God would have to make it perfectly clear. Well, let's just say that God did make it perfectly clear, right? Would you be willing to do that? Would you be willing to step out in faith? You see, living by faith means that we don't always know how it's going to work out. That's why it's called faith. We don't really know what's around the corner. We can't really anticipate everything. We have to live by faith. We don't always get the assurances that we want. And I can assure you of this, that it won't always be easy. It won't always be, right, roses and you know, cake. It's not going to be a cakewalk. So I want to ask you, when was the last time that you took a step of faith? Can you think back on 2022 and think of any steps of faith that you took, anything that required you to actually act in faith or in obedience to what God was calling you to do? Maybe this is the year for you to do that, that you would actually trust God with your best, trust him in complete faith and obedience, and start taking some greater steps in 2023. You see, I believe that this is part of what God wants for us as a church, that really we cannot grow. We will not grow apart from faith. We will not grow apart from obedience. We will not grow from trusting God. And even though we don't know what lies around the corner, even though we don't know how many hills or valleys are going to be, or how high those mountaintop experiences will be, or how low those valley experiences will be, we can still live by faith. So here's my point number one, is that wise people live by faith in God. Wise people live by faith in God. If you're expecting to have it all figured out before you take a step, that's not faith. And the Bible tells us that the just must. This was a sermon I preached a few years ago, right? The just must live by faith. That God has called us to be people of faith. And that means that we don't always know how it's going to work out, but we do know the God who's calling us. We can always count on God's character. We can always count on God's word. We can always count on God's spirit, right? His Holy Spirit lives inside of us. We can always count on God's promises. God has given us certain assurances that no one can alter. And yet, for some reason, we do not want to live by faith. Is there anyone that's more trustworthy than God? The answer is an emphatic no. So why aren't we living by faith? I think we do have to ask ourselves that question, right? So these wise men, they were looking for the Christ child because they actually saw his star. And the star pointed them to him. That was the whole purpose of the star. The star was just simply to guide people to Jesus. God has used all sorts of things, honestly, to point each one of us to himself. We can all look around us and see how God has used people, events, circumstances to draw us, to point us to himself. But even now, maybe God is trying to use certain things to point you to himself, to step out greater. It might even be this sermon, right? And so my question to you is, are you going to ignore it? Or are you going to be wise about it? Are you going to heed what God is trying to do and say in your life? You see, part of us having a new vision for new vision is going to require us to have faith. And faith means that we have to operate in obedience. And so what that means essentially is this, is that it's not always going to make sense to everybody else around us. If you want someone to always approve of or give you an accolade for your steps of faith or completely understand exactly where you're coming from, it's not going to happen. Everybody's not going to understand God's call on your life. Everybody's not going to understand what God wants you to do. And if you feel like you have to explain that to everyone so they get it perfectly, it's never going to happen. And so you have to be willing to take some steps of faith. You see, faith doesn't have to make sense to make obedience. Let me say that again. Faith does not have to make sense to make obedience. Sometimes we want it to all click together in our heads. We want to be able to see, you know, with no fog. We want to be able to see clearly, you know, with perfect clarity how it's all going to work out. God's not always going to give us that picture. We may have just enough light for the next step, but we take that next step in faith, trusting that He will give us light for the next step. And so faith doesn't have to make sense to make obedience. And each one of us can practice faith. We can be obedient. In fact, my definition of what success is as a Christian is simply complete obedience. When we're living in complete obedience to God, we are being successful whether the rest of the world or even our Christian brothers and sisters agree. It's really irrelevant. The question is, are we doing what God wants us to do? And so, number two, wise people live to offer their best gifts to God. Wise people give their best gifts to God. Are you using your gifts for God? Are you using your talents and abilities for God? Are you using what God has entrusted to you to build His kingdom? Or are you using your best gifts to build somebody else's kingdom? To pad someone else's pocket or maybe even pad your own pocket. The Bible tells us that when they had opened their gifts or their treasures, they presented gifts to Him of gold and frankincense and myrrh. So these wise men, they brought gifts. They brought something to give to the king. When we come together in worship, we should be bringing something. And I'm not talking about just finances. We should be bringing something to worship. It could be our hearts. It could be making sure our mind is in the right place. It can be giving a talent, like, you know, singing or playing a musical instrument or dancing or art or whatever. God has gifted us all in different ways, but we need to be bringing these things. And so the question is, are you using your gifts to build the kingdom? I think it's interesting that so many people would say, oh yeah, I love God, and I even recognize that my talents and abilities and everything comes from God, and yet they never seem to use it for God. Isn't that funny? So many people may use their gifts and abilities for, you know, someone else, even to benefit people and being nice and serving, but are they using it for eternal purposes? These kings, they brought something. They brought gold. Why gold? Well, gold is a gift for a king. They understood that Jesus was a king, and they brought Him gold, acknowledging His position as a ruler. They also brought frankincense. It's incense, right? And incense was something that was burned to a deity. It was a form of worship of this deity. And so they brought this frankincense, acknowledging that Jesus is God. He's not just a ruler. He doesn't just have a kingdom. He is God Himself. And then they brought myrrh. And myrrh is a spice. a lot of people, you know, we look at the symbolism of things here, and I don't know that these three kings, you know, understood all that Jesus was and what He was going to do. I don't know that, but as we look at it, we can certainly see that myrrh was something that was used for embalming. It was used for taking care of a recently deceased person. And you know, we look at this as symbolic of Jesus being our sacrifice, Jesus being the sacrificial lamb for us, that he is the Savior. And so these three kings, even though they don't know necessarily maybe God's intention for them to bring all this stuff, they didn't have to know. They just brought what they had. They brought what they thought was good. And as they brought these gifts and they presented them to Jesus, right? It's about their heart to worship. And so I want to say this for you, each of us, that as we look at having a new vision for New Vision, that it's going to require each of us using our gifts and talents, not being concerned about what someone else thinks about our gift or how we're using it or why we're doing it. We're presenting it unto Jesus. So are you using your gifts? Are you doing your best? Are you giving your best to the King? Are you giving your best for eternal purposes? And I think this is really awesome, right? Do we use our gifts to point people to Jesus? Do we use these things to help direct other people to the one who gave them to us? This is our job, that we have been entrusted with these things so that it's not just about us. It's about pointing people to the one who gave these gifts to us. So here's a very pointed question. Are you using your gifts, your talents, your resources, your abilities to support God's work? See, a new vision for New Vision is that each one is plugged in, giving, serving, using gifts, abilities, talents. One person can't do it all. It's going to take all of us doing our part. And so part of the new vision for New Vision is that each one, right, is giving and serving and living out their purpose for God. Are you giving your best? You see, we kind of give to our employer, right? Because we're going to get a check, paycheck back. So it's like we're going to give there, right? We might give to others because we feel obligated. We feel compelled because we're related. You know, this is my friend or whatever. What about Jesus, right? He's God. Certainly he deserves our best, our very best. He deserves, right, the most energy, the most attention, the most gratitude, the most everything. And I have to ask us as a church, are we giving our all to him? Are we doing the most for him? Are we giving our best in service to the King? You see, what they gave were actually acts of worship. This was not about just, you know, getting accolades saying, oh, wow, you know, you brought gold. Oh, you brought frankincense. Oh, you brought myrrh. How awesome. No, it's they brought these as an act of worship. But another very interesting thing here is that what they gave were actually investments for the future. You see, sometimes we kind of gloss over this, right? Jesus was taken to Egypt because Herod was going to kill all these babies. And so an angel comes and warns Joseph and says, hey, man, you need to get your wife, get your son out of here. How are they going to do that, right? They're already headed back to pay taxes. She's just had a baby. We all know, you know, when you have a baby, life changes. And, you know, it's costly to have kids. Now they're refugees. They got to flee out of their country to another country. How are they going to live? Well, God made provision for that. They've got gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You see, God always prepares us for the future. What investments are you making for the future? And I'm not just talking about for your future. I'm talking about the future of this church, right? What is it that you're contributing for the future of this church? Not just even finances, right? We're not just talking about that. We're talking about, you know, relationships. That there are people in this church who have kids or grandkids, right, who could benefit greatly for you having a godly relationship with them, investing in them, encouraging them, teaching them. Proverbs 29:18, we all know this verse. And you're going to hear it a lot around this time of the year. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. And I would say this, right? Where there is no new vision, the people perish. That when we don't have a new vision for the future, when we kind of get stuck in our old ways, we get stuck, you know, we're just doing the same thing over. And it's just a routine, a habit. You know, people perish because, you know what? Boredom kills. And it's like, I don't want our church to be boring. I don't believe God is boring. I don't believe that God is, you know, in fact, in Isaiah, he says, hey, look, I'm doing a new thing, right? God is doing new things, and new things are always exciting. And so for us, if you're not excited about the new year, if you're not gung-ho about what God is going to do, then let me encourage you, take some time, get alone with God, and ask him to give you a new vision for yourself, for new vision. You see, we don't want our vision to be nearsighted. We don't want to be short-sighted. We want to have a long-term vision of what God wants to do in and through our church. And I promise you that God wants to do something long-term in and through our church. And so a new vision for new vision would not only be motivated by love and faith, but it's also going to be an act of worship and an investment for the future. That God wants each of us to seriously contemplate how he wants to use each of us with our unique skills, our unique abilities, our unique talents, how he wants to do all of these things through us. You see, wise people give their talents and gifts and abilities. They give the best to God. Number three, to wrap up, wise people don't go back the way they came. You see, this angel shows up to the wise men and says, hey, you know, guys, Herod's kind of a crazy guy, and he's probably going to kill you, right? Once he finds out where the Christ child is, probably going to kill you too. So don't go back that way. So the wise men, because they're wise, they went home a different way. And you know, I don't want to go back to 2022. I don't want to go back to 2021. I certainly don't want to go back to 2020, right? And yet here it is, right? Some of us, we are stuck. Some of us are stuck in the 80s. It was great. It was 80s were great, man. I love the 80s. How about you? But you know, I don't want to be stuck there. God's got some new things that he has for us in 2023. And so we don't want to go backwards. It says, then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. You see, going backwards is not the way of God. God is a God who moves forward. God is a God who is always moving onward. And we need to be moving with God. God wants us to move forward in faith for the future. That the future is something that it's going to happen. The question is, are you going to be part of helping make it happen? Or are you going to be stuck in the past? We've got to realize that there are other ways to reach people, that there are other ways that we can do things, and we need to embrace those things. I know it's not easy to change. It's not, many people don't like change. But the reality is this, is that if we don't change, we die. If we don't embrace new things, you know what? We die. We don't want this church to die. There's no one in this that's watching this who would come to church at New Vision who would ever say, yeah, you know, I just hope our church, you know, just stays a little church and we just die. No, nobody wants that. We want to exist in the future, and we want to be even doing even greater things for God in the future. So what we've got to realize is this, is that our future, others' future, depends on all of us moving forward in obedience and in faith. We've all got to see this vision. And so a new vision for new vision will be realized when we have people who are not just wise, but who are passionate and passionate enough about Christ that they're willing to make sacrifices, they're willing to be committed, and they're willing to give their best to this vision. And so over the next few weeks, I want to ask you to consider where your commitment to Christ is first, what that looks like for new vision secondly, and then what kind of gifts, skills, abilities you're willing to give in use to build God's kingdom. Because we all have something that we can give. The greatest gift that you could give to God and to new vision and even to others, is your wholehearted service in faith for the future of our church and the greater church. So be wise in your decisions, knowing that the days are evil, right? Ephesians chapter 5 tells us this, right? We need to make the most of every opportunity because we know the days are evil. But we also know that what we've been given is not just for us. It's to be used for God's honor and glory. And so, as I close, I'm excited about 2023, if you can't tell. And I hope that you will be as excited as I am, even maybe more excited than I am, about all that God wants to do in and through each one of us to build his kingdom. Let's ask God for a new vision for new vision. Let's pray together. God, we thank you that you are a God who is in control of all things. And Father, we pray that knowing that you want to do new things in and through us, Father, we pray that you give us a new vision for new vision. And Father, that our gifts, even though they may not be gold, frankincense, or myrrh, but God, we all have something that you've given to us that you want us to give back to you. And so I pray, God, that however it is and whatever it is we need to offer, not just to new vision, but to our community, that God, you help us to see what that is. And then, Lord, help us to move in faith and trust you for the results. Thank you for 2022. And God, we're excited and anticipate great things in 2023. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for choosing to use us. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great, great day. And may God bless you in 2023.